Part 3. A Salamander from the Park. Email from Zoe Cross. Date: June 8, 2000. Time: 6:49 a.m. From Zoe Cross. Crushed Marigold at omitted.com. To Agnes Petrella. Agnes in Wonderland 76 at omitted.com. Subject: A Drudge's Duties. Good morning, Drudge. I trust you slept well. I imagine you're getting ready to leave for work, and that's precisely why I'm emailing you. I have another task for you. Something that will undoubtedly make you uncomfortable. Then again, aren't those the moments when we change the most? When we're uncomfortable? I'd like you to go into the communal bathroom at work and leave your undergarments in the stall for someone to find. Perhaps a pair embellished with lace, or maybe a pair you've yet to wash. Regardless of the pair you choose, I want the undergarment deserted in a conspicuous place where someone can, and will, find it. I trust you will complete this task in as expeditious a manner as possible and will reply to this message with "done" when you have properly executed the assignment. What have you done today to deserve your eyes? Yours, Sponsor. Email from Agnes Petrella. Date: June 8, 2000. Time: 9:09 a.m. From Agnes Petrella, Agnes in Wonderland 76 at omitted.com. To Zoe Cross, Crushed Marigolds at omitted.com. Subject: Ray, A Drudge's Duties. Done. Signed, Agnes Petrella. Email from Agnes Petrella. Date: June 8, 2000. Time: 2:17 p.m. From Agnes Petrella, Agnes in Wonderland 76 at omitted.com. To Zoe Cross, Crushed Marigolds at omitted.com. Subject: Ray, A Drudge's Duties. Well, it finally happened. I was asked to leave today. Only this time, for good. I crept into the ladies' washroom when I was certain it was empty, skirted into one of the empty stalls, and slid off the pair of underwear I wore to work today. It was a dark cherry color, the edges frilled with lace as finely woven as a spider's web. When I had fully removed the underwear, wrenching it off from around my shoes, I wrapped the garment around the toilet seat's handlebar. I stepped back, admiring the finesse of my craftsmanship. The underwear dangled there obscenely, as if it were human viscera on display, a juiceless organ or a dried-out intestine to be marveled at. After I was satisfied with my work, I crawled out of the empty stall. But just as I was leaving, one of the other secretaries greeted me at the washroom door. She made a friendly comment, excusing herself as she almost bumped into me. Then I watched her eyes drift to the pair of undergarments hanging from the handlebar in the empty stall. She looked at me strangely, as if searching me for an explanation. When she could find none, she made her way into one of the other stalls and shut the door. I sneaked back to my desk and waited for the moment when it would happen, the moment when I would be once again asked to visit my superior's office. Only this time, I decided I would accept my fate with the same dignity of a virgin martyr being led to public execution. Finally, the time came. "She'd like to see you in her office," one of the other younger secretaries told me while keeping their distance, as if I carried some infectious disease and they might be dismissed as well if they came too close to me. The meeting was brief, just as I had expected. A simple, "You're dismissed," and a few papers to sign. I didn't feel anything when I was asked to pack my things. I thought I might feel a pinch in the center of my chest, a faucet leaking behind my eyes. But no, nothing. It's not that I felt empty. I think all of us feel empty most of the time, and we merely pretend to fill the vacuum with laughter, crying, apologies, anything to make us feel human. I think I felt like what an astronaut feels like when they hurtle toward Earth in a tiny prison chamber, flames eating away at their vessel as they enter our atmosphere. There's a reason objects burn up when they fall to Earth like gruesome angels. A reason other than the obvious one. Asteroids the size of armored cars narrow to mere pebbles in a matter of seconds. It's because the planet is a carnivore and just wants to be fed. People want that as well. People like to eat other people. I spent so many years forgetting I had teeth, too. So I packed my things up and hurried out of the office, swiping the underwear from the washroom stall before I forgot. I stepped out onto the street, daylight running its fingers through my hair as if it were a fire. That's when I thought of you. I know you'll take care of me. You won't eat me, no matter how much you enjoy the way I taste. Email from Zoe Cross. Date, June 8th, 2000. Time, 4:13 p.m. From Zoe Cross, Crushed Marigolds at Omitted.com. To Agnes Petrella, Agnes in Wonderland 76 at Omitted.com. Subject: Ray, a drudge's duties. Drudge, I'm devastated to learn of your recent dismissal, but I'm delighted to know you don't view this slight impediment as a major setback. In truth, I was considering reaching out to you and explaining that you no longer need to work when you're under my care. I assured you that I will take care of you, and I certainly do not intend to neglect my side of our agreement. We can discuss this further tonight on Instant Messenger. I'll be on at 10 o'clock. I expect to see you there. Signed, Sponsor. Instant messaging conversation between Agnes and Zoe. June 8th, 2000. Crushed Marigold has entered the chat. Agnes in Wonderland 76 has entered the chat. 10:01. Agnes in Wonderland 76. Hi. Crushed Marigolds. You're late. I'm sorry.
Sorry what?
Sorry, sponsor.
That's a good drudge. You understand the penance for being late?
Yes, sponsor.
You're to hold your breath for a minute.
Yes, sponsor.
Deep breath. Starting now. Don't breathe. Not yet. Keep it held. Not done yet.
Almost there. Almost.
Now, breathe. What do you say?
Thank you, sponsor.
That's a good girl. Now, the matter of your allowance.
Allowance?
Don't you think that's fair?
Yes, I guess so. That's very generous of you.
I'll deposit $1,500 in your account on the first of every month.
$1,500?
A fair amount?
I would say so. It's too generous.
You know Mommy wants to take care of her girl.
Yes, I know.
Is there anything you want?
Anything I want?
If you could have anything, name it.
I want to see you in person. I want to be able to touch you, to know you're real.
Aren't I real enough for you already?
You're just a blinking cursor to me right now. I want to know you're real, to feel your blood pumping, the heartbeat in your hands.
I've already done so much to prove to you I'm real.
I suppose I just can't believe a person as good as you exists. Don't you want us to be together?
Of course I do. How could you ask me that?
Then why can't we?
It's not that I don't want to. We're not ready yet.
Will we be?
Someday, just not today.
You asked me if there's something I want.
Yes.
More than anything in the world.
Tell me.
I want a baby.
Yes.
I want life to carry inside me. That's what I've wanted more than anything else. To be a mother. You still there?
I wish I could give you that. I would if I could.
I know you would.
I can't stay.
You have to leave already?
We'll talk tomorrow.
Always.
Crushed Marigolds has left the chat. Agnes in Wonderland 76 has left the chat. Email from Zoe Cross. Date, June 10th, 2000. Time, 2:04 a.m. From Zoe Cross, crushedmarigold at omitted.com. To Agnes Petrella, Agnes in Wonderland 76 at omitted.com. Subject: A salamander from the park. I thought of something before going to bed tonight. I've been thinking a lot about what you said, how you want to carry life, how you want something to care for. I think there's a way for us both to get what we want. I want you to visit a park near your apartment. I checked on the map and I see that there's a place called White Memorial not far from where you live. I want you to go there and comb the grounds for a salamander. A wet, oily little thing, probably could contentedly fit inside the palm of your hand. You can usually find them in moist areas. They prefer marshlands, freshwater creeks, or brooks. I've read they typically hide under rocks, their little bodies seeking out damp, cool places. I want you to take the salamander from where you find it and stuff it inside your pocket. Keep it tucked there so that it's comfortable. I want you to carry it with you all day, no matter where you go. If it suffocates in there, I want you to return to the park and find another one. I want you to do this all day until sunset. Then, when twilight devours color from the sky, I want you to take the salamander to a place outdoors where nobody can find you. I want you to find a large rock and smash it against the small creature until it stops moving. You probably didn't know the salamander is a symbol of rebirth in many cultures, a sign of change, transformation, and growth. Don't you wish to be reborn too? After all, what have you done today to deserve your eyes? Signed, sponsor. Email from Agnes Petrella. Date, June 10th, 2000. Time, 8:37 a.m. From Agnes Petrella, Agnes in Wonderland 76 at omitted.com. To Zoe Cross, crushed marigolds at omitted.com. Subject: Ray, a salamander from the park. Sponsor: I've read your email several times now, and I'm uncertain where to begin. You know I would never question you or do anything to challenge your judgment, but I don't think I could go through with it. I could never hurt a living thing. Will you please reconsider and give me another task? I'll do anything else, I swear it. Signed, Drudge. Email from Zoe Cross. Date, June 10th, 2000. Time, 9:49 a.m. From Zoe Cross, crushed marigolds at omitted.com. To Agnes Petrella, Agnes in Wonderland 76 at omitted.com. Subject: Ray, a salamander from the park. A drudge does not question their sponsor. A drudge obeys no matter what. Email from Agnes Petrella. Date, June 10th, 2000. Time, 10:11 p.m. From Agnes Petrella, Agnes in Wonderland 76 at omitted.com. To Zoe Cross, crushed marigolds at omitted.com. Subject: Ray, a salamander from the park. I did what you asked me to. I didn't take any pictures of any of it, so my account of everything will have to suffice. I got in my car and took a drive out to the park this afternoon, the one you mentioned in your email. There was a huge iron gate that greeted me when I arrived, miniature stone gargoyles flanking either side that seemed to regard me as if incredulous, as if they were about to ask me what I was doing there. At the time, I remember thinking how wonderful it might be if one day we had a place with a gate guarded by little stone beasts with ferocious jaws, little creatures that would belong to us and no one else. So after I paid the attendant, I drove through the gate and began to meander down a narrow corridor lined with giant sycamores. I remember thinking, "What am I doing?
I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be doing this. This is wrong. But with every barbed thought, I sensed my feet pushed down harder on the accelerator, as if I were gleefully headed toward doom, as if I had caught a glimpse of hell for the first time and needed to marvel further at its vast wealth of wonders. I parked my car under a tree and headed for the pond I saw in the distance. There were a few children playing with their parents in the field beside the parking lot, but they didn't seem to notice me. Creeping down the narrow causeway, I arrived at the pond. The water was still, lilies the size of dinner plates floating by. I started to skirt around the edges of the pond, my head craning beneath the underbrush beside the path. I located some small rocks on the water's shore, flipping them over and finding nothing. Then, after an hour or so of searching, I noticed a small, dark shape stirring in the grass further up ahead near the water's edge. I looked closer, and it was then I found what I was looking for, a salamander, the size of a house key and practically just as flat. Its tail was slippery wet, and its skin glinted in the sunlight as I spooned it from the ground to hold in my hand. There's something godlike about holding something so small, something that solely depends on your kindness, your generosity. I had never thought about hurting something before. Until now. I imagined what it might feel like. I imagined closing my hand to make a fist until its tiny body was squished, its innards squeezed out like toothpaste from its mouth open in a muted scream. Before I allowed myself to get too carried away with a thought, I shoved the little creature inside my pocket. I named him Albert and promised I would treat him with crickets if he behaved. He wouldn't know the difference if I didn't, and I knew he wouldn't call me a liar. So, as promised, I carried him with me all day, my eyes glancing at my wristwatch every minute or so, as if I were anticipating my own execution at twilight. Finally, the moment I had been dreading arrived, all light vacuumed from the sky. So, I returned to the park after dusk, and I took the little creature to a small grove of trees just beyond the parking lot. I sprawled him out along a moss-covered rock, and I searched for a rock nearby. When I finally located one, about the size of a bowling ball, I approached Albert with a wordless apology. He remained perfectly still, as if comfortable in my presence, and foolishly thinking I would never do anything to harm him. Before another moment of hesitation, I brought down the rock and slammed it against him. I heard a vulgar, wet thud. I looked down and saw the poor, pathetic creature, flattened and crumpled like wind-blown paper against the rock's underside. After peeling his little body from the rock, he flopped to the ground and twitched gently before I saw his tiny legs stop from trembling. The whole forest seemed to fall quiet, as if in mourning for the small creature. So I found a spot beneath a tree and dug a small hole in the dirt. I ladled his little body from the ground and said a prayer before tossing him in the tiny pit I had opened. I stood there at his grave for what felt like hours. Then, when darkness leached through the trees, I packed my things, headed for my car, and drove back home. As I sit here at my computer, with dirt beneath my fingernails, I wonder why I did this, why I ever agreed to let you tell me what to do. I never thought I would ever do something as monstrous, as wicked as this. That poor creature didn't deserve to die, and I did it just to please you. What else will I do to make you happy? What else will I do before you finally take my eyes from me, as you've been promising? You and I are better off without each other. If we stay together, we'll only hurt one another. I've been thinking about that a lot lately, especially about a Sumatran short-eared rabbit. Have you ever seen one? It's a type of rabbit only found in Indonesia, considered very rare, endangered, in fact. They had one at the zoo I used to go to when I was in college. I used to skip my French class and instead take a walk to the zoo, stroll through the gardens, look at the orangutans and the lemurs and the sloths and the pandas. But I always found myself drawn to a small glass case framed on the pathway leading to the anteater exhibit. A small glass case
with a female Sumatran short-eared rabbit inside. She'd squat in her little cage, her tiny hands cupping the bits of tropical fruit they'd give her. Her fur, warm chestnut with dark brown stripes. She was about as big as your hand, maybe a little bit bigger. I found out she was pregnant, and the zookeepers were taking bets when she'd finally deliver the litter. So I kept checking back every day, ignoring my French homework and instead sprinting to the zoo to see if the rabbit had her babies yet. And finally, one day, when I was there, she was laying on her side, and it started to happen. Squeezing out of her was this tiny pink clump of tissue, glistening wet. She labored for probably 20 minutes before the little thing pushed itself out of her, its limbs shiny and rubbery. And as it lay there, twitching in the agony of what it feels like to first become a living thing, she pressed her snout against it and inhaled its scent. She did this a few times, pushing herself against the infant harder each time, as if testing its comfort. And finally, as she started to give birth to the next baby, she wrapped her mouth around the rabbit she had just delivered and started devouring it. I just stood there, watching helplessly as the mother rabbit ate her child, bits of tissue and blood smearing against her gnarled fur. I didn't watch the rest of the carnage. I walked back to my dorm, not remembering how I got there when I finally arrived. I went back to the zoo a month or so later, and one of the zookeepers told me that the mother ate the other baby as well, not long after she ate the first one. He said the baby rabbit was sick and wouldn't have survived even if they intervened in time. Said this happens all the time in the wild, because a carcass will usually draw predators to the den. He said it was probably for the best. Just like this decision is for the best. This is where it stops. I've made the decision to not go forward with our contract. I will not be answering any more of your emails, nor will I be financially engaging with you in any way. I will be going to my bank tomorrow and wiring the money back into your account. I will also be closing my accounts and doing my banking elsewhere so that you no longer have access to my finances. I'm petitioning you to please void our current contract, as I refuse to move forward with any of your tasks. I'm better off without you. Signed, Agnes. Email from Zoe Cross. Date, June 10th, 2000. Time, 11:39 p.m. From Zoe Cross, crushedmarigolds@omitted.com. To Agnes Petrella, agnesinwonderland76@omitted.com. Subject, contract voided. Agnes, I'm disheartened to hear of your decision to void our current contract. However, I understand your cause for doing so. I am truly sorry that I pushed you well beyond your limit. That was never my intention. I think we both wanted different things out of this relationship, and we're coming to the realization that it simply isn't a good fit. I honor your decision, and this email is sent as avoidance of our current contract. I wish you nothing but health and prosperity in all your future endeavors. I'm always here if you need anything. Best regards, Zoe.